I hope this month has been a blessing to you as we've highlighted kind of the different mission efforts the Grapevine does. And today I'm especially excited for the speakers that we have coming up, for what we're going to do at the end of worship. So pay attention to that. But today we're going to kind of focus on some things that we do in-house, some mission efforts and ministries that we do that kind of emanate from here, and then also a couple of partner efforts as well that the youth ministry, Justin, has been partnered with, and I'm excited for you guys to hear about that. And so today we're going to have Gonzalo come up here in a minute and talk about our friend speak, and after Gonzalo, Ben Noah is going to come up to talk about regeneration. And then after those two, Justin's going to come up and introduce our other partnership with Teen Life. And then to close it all out, to round the whole day off, John Howell is coming up to talk about our efforts with the mission field. And that's the exciting thing for after service, so pay attention to that. He's going to talk about that as we kind of close out the morning. So I'm excited for this. I'm going to say a prayer over it, and then I'm going to invite Gonzalo Robles. Father, we pray in this moment for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to work in us. We pray as brothers and sisters that our ears and our hearts are opened to what we'll hear through these speakers. Lord, may the Spirit stir in us something new. May the Spirit work in us and in our hearts and open us to what you want us to be and who you want and what you want us to do. Lord, I pray a blessing on Gonzalo and his words, Ben and his words, Chris and what he will tell us, and John, what he will tell us, Lord. I pray a blessing on these ministries and what they're doing for our neighbors. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
I know we have, excuse me, I know we have a lot to cover today, so I'm going to try to go through this pretty quickly. To help you with the language we use in friend speak, a worker is typically a congregation member who volunteers to visit with people from the community who are interested in improving their reading, writing, and speaking skills in English. We call these people from our community our readers. About 1 in 5 of our local population is Hispanic, Asian, or other ethnicity, speaking English as a second language. A lot of our readers are hoping to practice and improve their English, either because of their job and or their desire to blend in with our community. Some are interested in obtaining their U.S. citizenship. When I think about God's perspective on this ministry, I think about the following two verses. In Leviticus 19, verses 33 through 34, Scripture says, "When a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt." In Galatians 6:2, Scripture reads, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." I think most FriendSpeak workers would agree that these two scriptures capture the essence of our FriendSpeak ministry. We minister to the need or desire to speak English better, and we become friends in a foreign land to our readers. In many of our worker-reader relationships, we do what a friend would do. The scripture we read leads us into a spiritual discussion that helps them carry the loads or burdens we all have in life. We consider FriendSpeak a local mission effort because our time together gives us the opportunity to help people from various countries and religious backgrounds know God and discuss ways to incorporate his principles for living into our lives here on earth. During our time together on Wednesday nights, we use short lessons that incorporate excerpts from the easy-to-read Bible into various workbooks. The lessons and the workbooks help our readers practice and improve their English reading, speaking, and writing skills in a one-on-one setting. We purchase the workbooks from the Let's Start Talking ministry. Let's Start Talking sends groups to other countries and makes classes in English available in the countries they go to. FriendSpeak is the domestic version of Let's Start Talking. The conversations we have with people who have different beliefs or faiths can be described as being respectful and mutually beneficial. The time spent reading scripture together gives workers the opportunity to hear faith stories and beliefs from another cultural background and ends up being equally rewarding for the worker. Other times, the reader may already have a Christian belief in God and have a knowledge of Scripture. As we visit and study, we both learn and grow in our knowledge of God's will in our lives, speaking from each other's perspectives and experiences. In each scenario, the worker has the satisfaction of helping their reader in their efforts to have a better quality of life. I'd like to ask anyone who works with Friends Speak to stand, please. You may have a few or may feel uncomfortable doing it. Thank you for doing that. Kinnett, I'm going to call you out. Kinnett works with us. And if you have any further questions about Friends Speak, please see any of these people and visit with them about their experience in working with Friends Speak. And for me, what I see as the reward of being a friend to someone who needs a friend and helping meet, I guess you could say, God's command for us to love other people, and as it says in Leviticus, especially those who are from a foreign country and could really use a friend here in the States. Thank you.
My name is Ben. I have a new life in Christ, and I am in recovery for pride and a felt need for recognition. Now, you'll notice I didn't think anything about addictions there. And those of you that know me know that at one time in my life, I was a dedicated alcoholic. But I spent 6 years struggling on my own, using the Bible as my guide, because 12-step Alcoholics Anonymous wasn't working for me. And honestly, I wish I would have had a program like Regeneration at that time, but I didn't. I struggled through on my own. Currently, I'm going through the Regeneration program for my third time since we've started and since I teach. But let me tell you, as a licensed professional counselor, Regeneration has a unique way of helping people overcome not just addictions, but anything that stands in your way in life. In 1 Colossians 6, 9 through 11, Paul gives us this list of sins, and then he ends it by saying, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And so what Regeneration tries to do, if you read the mission statement, it says nothing about addictions, but everything about making disciples for Christ. Okay? And just for the record, I did have my last drink on August the 12th, 1978. So I know that working through your issues with the Bible does work. But like I said, it's not just for addictions. Out in the foyer on our table, I got a sheet out there with over 100 different struggles that people have in their relationship with Jesus and in your relationship with the people around you. And interestingly enough, right after alcoholism on this list is anger. And that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight in our large group devotional. Like I said, it's more than just addictions. We are the only regeneration group that meets on Sunday in the DFW area. And so I've got people who are driving in from McKinney to the east of us, and from Benbrook to the west. So we're bringing in people to Regeneration from, you know, quite a diverse area. But I am a little bit greedy. I want more people coming in. And we need your help for that, okay? So like I said, out in the foyer, I've got these list of struggles. that you may know someone who is struggling with it. On the back of the sheet, there's a little bit of a blurb about what Generation does. Also, I've got a larger card that says, never be the same. Because that's what Regeneration wants to do for people. Help them find peace and contentment in Christ. And also, got some business cards out there on the table. Take what you need, take what you want, take what you might be able to pass out to people. And I think that this has the potential to bring in a lot of people, not just within the church, but outside of the church. So help us out by helping us recruit and bring people to Christ. Thank you.
Well, good morning. If you're visiting with us, I'm Justin Taylor, the youth minister here. And 6 years ago, after I accepted to come here to Grapevine, I had not quite done it. I was still in my office in Tulsa. I reached out to a gentleman named Chris Roby. And I've known Chris for a really long time. And I told Roby, I said, hey, I'm coming to Grapevine, and I want to get plugged into Teen Life. And what I'll tell you is Teen Life has changed my life. Teen Life has changed lives in many, many students. And I'm going to ask Chris to come up here and explain it, because he's going to do a whole lot better explain it than me. But Chris is actually the CEO of Teen Life, and I'm going to turn it over to him.
Thank you so much. Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you and fight through my technology here. There we go. Everything's up and running. I always debate on how to explain what we do at Teen Life. I appreciate the words on support groups, because we provide support groups on middle school and high school campuses, and I want to talk more about that in a second. But before I do, let's do a quick participation in Teen Life, okay? So really, really easy. You have to do two things. First of all, hold up a fist if you would, just a fist like that. All right, now hold up a five. Okay, so we have just participated kind of in an activity we call Fist of Five. So you can put your hand down. In just a second, I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer the question out loud. All you have to do is just put up a fist, one, two, three, four, or five. It's a scale that you do with your hand. So like on a scale of fist to five, I would ask a question, and you get to answer the question without actually answering the question out loud. Make sense? So really simple question. On a scale of fist, this is the worst ever, to five, this is the best ever. How is today going for you? On a scale of fist to five, how is today going for you? So I'm going to look around the room, see some fives, see some threes, lots of threes, fives. No one's being honest and saying one or two yet. Let's see here. Yeah. All right. It's a church Sunday, right? Okay, you can put your hand down. All right. So we do this activity with students every single week in our support groups on school campuses. Now, the cool thing about this is it gives you a chance to answer the question without saying it out loud, but then you get to kind of follow up. So let's say that I answered a two. And so me as facilitator would say, well, tell me about that two. There's something, you know, if it's kind of bad. All right, so if we know what the two is, let's talk about what it would mean to move you not to a five, but to a three, one number higher. Because to think about just fixing everything in your life at one time is really overwhelming. But then just to think about, well, what if it was just a little bit better? Because sometimes when things are just a slightly better, or just incrementally better, things seem a whole lot better, right? And so in Teen Life support groups, we actually go on to mainly public school campuses and run support groups during the school day, working with the local counseling staff. And that activity I just showed you is just one thing that we do. We play with Play-Doh to talk about stress. We use crayons to talk about our relationships. We do things that would, on the surface, seem like it'd be for little kids. But if someone threw some Play-Doh at you and said, let's talk about your stress, you might be inclined to at least play with the Play-Doh, right? And then maybe after that, talk a little bit more. We've been doing support groups for over 10 years, and we thought we would be doing groups adjacent to AA and NA meetings, which we still do that some, but actually God called us into the schools, and through a series of events made it really clear, I want you doing these support groups with students during the school day. And for the way that we do groups, We do groups on a preventative basis, so we're trying to get out ahead of problems. And so with that, we're not hiring LPCs to do this. We're actually engaging with the community and training volunteers like you. And we have volunteers, that, especially pre-pandemic, we're going into schools all over Tarrant County and over into Dallas County and up into Denton, and a few actually out of state. This pandemic's been tough. For us, for anyone who has a school-based ministry, has been really, really challenging because for really good reasons, schools have really limited the number of volunteers. But this school year, praise the Lord, they are opening their doors back up again. And as of now, we have 50 groups just locally that are either scheduled or actually happening. I'm actually running two of those groups myself on Mondays and Fridays at a local alternative school. And some incredible things are happening through these groups. Now, you might wonder, why is this such a timely and important thing right now? I don't know if you're a teenager in the room right now, and you don't have to answer this out loud, but just kind of reflect with me on how things are going right now in school. The environment, the stress, the sense that this pandemic thing has really messed with us, and it's really followed us into the schools. And if you look at the stats right now, we're seeing this playing out. In the first half of the year, the Children's Hospital Association reported a 45% spike in the cases of self-injury and suicide among kids 5 to 17 compared to 2019. And so just the rates of mental health distress have skyrocketed throughout this pandemic, and many experts believe this is only going to continue to rise for the foreseeable future, because we shut down, we're back in, and we expect students just to catch up. And it's just not that simple. This is a difficult road we're all facing, especially for the mind of an adolescent. And I know there's teenagers in the room. I don't mean to talk about you while you're in the room, but to be an adolescent right now is really, really difficult, because everything is about the future, and everything is also really new. And for some of us who've been around the sun a few more times, we know something like a pandemic, this will pass, right? Even though this is new for all of us as well. But for those of you guys who are facing challenges to this degree for the first time, this can seem like forever. And so how incredible would it be to have someone like a Justin Taylor come into your school and sit down with you and your peers and say, how are you doing? Matter of fact, how much better would all of our lives be if we had someone who actually sat down with us every week and just said, just to check in, hey, how are you doing? And to add on top of that, without judgment. Because it would be really great to sit down and say, I'm at a zero right now. And to someone to say, tell me about that. Instead of trying to fix it, instead of trying to tell you everything you need to do. And for adolescents, this is a welcome gift. I'm going to wrap up by talking about something really exciting that Grapevine Church of Christ is making happen. I'll say two things. First of all, the coat drive that you guys have talked about. Justin has engaged with us at Teen Life with our relationships in Grapevine Colleyville ISD. And I get to reach out to all the counselors in Grapevine Colleyville that we know and tell them about this coat drive, and they are beyond thrilled to be able to pass this on to their families. And so a lot of the families that you will see come through coat drive are with relationship with our school districts, which you guys make happen, which we're so thrilled to be able to do. And in a couple weeks, we have a new support group that's starting on a Grapevine Colleyville ISD high school campus. And this one, I don't usually highlight specific groups because we run a lot of them, but this one took my breath away when I heard about it. And this was an outreach from the school to us and saying, we need this help. They have a group of 10 students on one of the Grapevine Colleyville ISD high schools. These 10 students have all lost a parent to COVID-19 since the beginning of this school year. I'm talking about August. I'm not talking about the beginning of the pandemic. 10 students on one high school campus who have lost a parent. And because of our partnership with Grapevine Colleyville, or Grapevine Church of Christ, and namely Justin going into these schools, these students are going to have someone that they can talk to on their school campus where they don't have to be removed to go out to an appointment off campus. We're coming on to their school campuses. Now, I'm going to end with this because this is the part that really excites me, is that as you're listening to this, you're like, that's pretty cool. I wouldn't mind doing something like that with my time. With the pandemic, Teen Life was able to bring all of our training fully online. We used to do all of our training as a live training. We've done, I think, 3 or 4 up in that room with facilitators from all over the city. But now our training is fully online. If you're like, I would love to do something like that, I would love to share my time and my experiences and relationship with students who are struggling, you can do that now. Whoever's running the slides, great job. I wasn't even paying attention to my slides. So up here is a QR code. If you want to pull your phone up and just your camera will catch that, and you can get more information about Teen Life, how to train, more about us, what we do, where we're located. I'll also be in the back after services to talk to you, and you can get more information about how to become a Teen Life facilitator, how to support us further. And we're really excited to be able to share this partnership with you. I'm going to turn this over to John to wrap us up.
I'm telling you, whenever you hear somebody talking about doing the work in the community, it resonates with you. And a few of the moments there today, I got chills just hearing some of the things that are going on. So thank you so much for the great work you and your group are doing, and thank you for those in our group that are supporting them. And even from a missions team, we support that group in a number of different ways, and we're grateful to be a part of it. Missions Month, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like Missions Month has been an awesome experience. We've heard some great stories from people that we do missions with locally in the DFW area, which is how we started week one. In week two, we talked to our missionaries from Mission Para Cristo and the work that they're doing in Nicaragua and Honduras. Week three, we followed that up with our European missions, getting to see some videos from Oleg and Eldar, and then Bob speaking on behalf of EEM. And this week, again, we are focusing on our local missions. So I hope you know that the mission team is hard at work in all that we do. And at this time, I'd like to ask the members of the mission team, unexpectedly, to please stand up and be recognized for making this such a great missions month. So please, please stand up. Absolutely. It really is a team that makes all of these things happen. And we are always looking for the next team member. If you would like to be a part of that team, come see us. We are looking for people eager to get plugged in. We meet almost every month. We take a little bit of a break in the summer. But we do a lot of things behind the scenes that don't even get to be seen out front. But it's just a great ministry to see the amount of lives that get impacted and the ways that people come to know Jesus through missions. So if you'd like to be a part of that, come see me. Come have a conversation with one of our members that stood up. But likewise, a lot of these things that you've heard have started with ideas. Ideas start here in the community, start here within our church, and they grow into these ministries that sometimes you have been going on for many years. So likewise, bring us your ideas. Bring us the things you're passionate about. Let us figure out how to partner with you or how to get people around you so that we can accomplish some of these great things. I'm really looking forward to today because we're going to talk about the mission field. And for once, being up here, a lot of times I kind of get nervous. I'm not going to lie. But this is something I'm so passionate about. I just feel grateful to be in front of you today. When Nicole and I started visiting church about 3.5 years ago, it was shortly before Easter. And I remember hearing that come Easter Sunday, we weren't going to be meeting in our field outside, that we were going to be having our Easter egg hunt down the street. And I think I talked to Russell and maybe Justin, and I said, man, why don't we have Easter in the backyard back there? And Justin says, have you ever walked out there, dude? I mean, it's like walking on the moon. And so it's some years past, we had a lot of mulch and things that got dumped out there and had grown over. And if you walk out there, which we'll have the opportunity today, it's just an unusable space. And I saw that as an opportunity. And so 2 years ago, the church engaged in a thought exchange. It was a really great tool for us as a community of believers to say, hey, what are we passionate about? What are we interested in? What do we need to be focusing on at church? It gave the church, everybody in the church, a voice to be heard by the eldership. I was a really big fan of that. And the two of the things that came out of that was a need for us to have a children's minister, and Nan has fulfilled that, and so we're so grateful to have her. And the second thing is for us to be more involved in local missions. So it got brought before the missions team. Well, how do we do that? Well, we already have some events and groups and organizations we support locally, but how do we do something in our neighborhood, in our backyard? Well, after reflecting and talking about the mission or the piece of grass that we had out there, we said, you know what? The church building, for those that don't know, the church building is about to get paid off. We are in a good financial position because of the support of the congregation, even through COVID, that we are able to look and dream for the next step. And we said, hey, what if we take that piece of unusable ground and turn it into something that we can use, our community can use, Grapevine Church, Grapevine School can use. And so we started that conversation. I met with the heads of all the organizations. I met with Justin. I met with Aaron. We talked about all the events. And there's a slide that should show all of the things that we currently do annually that we don't necessarily do here at the church because we don't have a space to do that. Some of y'all might have attended the Sunday service we had out at the park, which was an amazing Sunday service. And I think we had more people at that service than we've had all year long because it was an open-air get-together. And I'm telling you, it was a great Sunday. And so these are the list of things that we are doing, and a lot of these are not happening here or not happening as great as they could be happening here on our own space. So these are some things that we will be able to engage in. But by having these events in our own backyard, we are really going to engage our neighbors. We have two apartment complexes over here. And if you've ever dealt with real estate and development of space, they are trying to figure out how they can get the most homes on that square footage of property over there, the most tenants, the most space. They're not thinking about, hey, let's put in soccer fields for the kids to play in. Let's put in some big pavilions for birthday parties. That's not their focus. And we have this asset that is sitting in the back, unutilized. And so what came of that thought and what came of that is to create a space that has a pavilion for us to gather under, for us to have outside Bible classes. Justin, during the year, has small groups out there, and there's going to be a little fire pit area. There's places for outdoor Bible classes. And then there's going to be a field and a soccer field. And so that soccer field is going to really create opportunities for us to connect with the people and the kids and the families that live around us. Originally, whenever we started this process, we started looking at numbers about a year and a half ago. And I don't know if anybody here has priced anything construction-wise or bought anything, and everybody knows the price of everything has gone up. And so originally, we had proposed a budget of about $250,000. And we thought that that was an achievable budget at that time. And as we started to develop the plan, we took it to the city to get permitting, and we sat down with the elders and said, hey, this is what we think it's going to look like. One of the charges the eldership gave us is, let's make sure we get it right. Let's make sure that whatever we do it right. We don't want to make it too small. We don't want to make it too big. But let's just make sure whatever we do, we get it right. And so we went back to the drawing board, and we made a couple of changes. We increased some spaces in some areas because we learned a lot during COVID about how much space we need and could use. And so through that and through the price and of materials and goods and services, the price has changed to a new budget total of $350,000. To date, we have raised $200,000 plus. So we are about $150,000 short of having this thing paid off before we start. And like Russell said earlier, if we could have the loose attachment to dollars, I can almost guarantee you that we could meet this budget here real quickly before we end service. We have had a donor step up and donate $50,000 in a matching program, which means if you individually would give $100, that becomes $200. If you could give $1,000, that becomes $2,000. If you can give 10, that's 20, right? And so we can get there really quickly. So now instead of needing $150,000 to finish this, we only need $100,000. So somebody go out there and sell some of that Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, and let's just pay this thing off real quick. What do you say? Anybody, any takers? So we know this is an achievable number. We want to get it right. We want to do it one time. And we want this space to be something we can all use as a church family. This is not just for our needs. Every person that's sitting in this, in a pew here today, is going to have an opportunity to engage in this. Because we're creating this space, as a mission team, we didn't want to just build something and walk away from it. We are also putting in place one of our team members to help create events for this annually. We want this to be something that we see as a mission program. We're not just going to build it and mow it. We want to create events, at least 4 events annually, that are neighborhoods targeted, meaning that we invite our neighbors, that we knock doors and we put flyers on. When we have Easter, I want that thing so full of kids that we need 10,000 Easter eggs. You know, whenever we have Sunday morning church out there, I want the neighbors to hear us singing. I want us to have, you know, movies in the park where we have blow up movie nights and bring your kids over and let's get the ice cream truck out there. This is not just going to be a piece of grass that is going to sit idle that we mow all year long. This is going to be a ministry. And that makes me really excited. I was at a church one time, and I'm not going to tell you which church, but I was at a church one time, and some kids from the neighborhood were playing baseball on a back piece of grass over there, and somebody at the church once said, what are they doing? They need to get off the dirt. I mean, they're back there ruining our landscaping or whatever, you know, was maybe the comment. And immediately my mind goes back to let the children come to us. If your kids or the kids in this neighborhood engage in a safe and fun space, maybe there's an opportunity for them to engage in our kids and to meet our ministers and to meet us as a church family so that we can grow and start to plant the seeds of relationship in our community. The second thing that this does is this shows our community that we're not a selfish church. We're not doing this just for our own private use. We're not putting a gate around it. There is no locked access. This is open to our community, and that right there shows them that we are doing this for everyone around us to use. Now, I'm sure there's going to be some things that happen, right? There's going to be some trash left out there. We may have to clean it a little bit, right? But all of those things don't matter to the opportunity that it's going to present to us as a church and as a community. I know Justin's excited for it. I know Nan's excited for it. I know Aaron and the school and all the things that they're going to be out there, it's going to be excited for it. I am super excited to see us out there. We are planning on breaking ground of actually moving dirt November the 7th, which is coming up quickly. Our target completion date is really Easter of this coming Easter. And I want to have the best Easter get-together that we have ever seen out there. And I am really looking forward to it. So at the end of service, after we conclude, we are going to invite the whole congregation, after our last song, to come outside. I'm going to give you a little bit of a contractor's lay of the land, tell you where things are going to go, speak to it for a moment. We're going to have a little moment of prayer and to pray over this space. I'd love for you to pull out your phone, take a before picture so you can see the changes that are going to be happening over the next few months. And then we're going to ask the elders to, you know, roll up their sleeves and get their work gloves out, and they're going to stick a shovel in the ground and break ground on this thing. This is a really exciting event. This is a really something I'm very passionate about, as I'm sure you can see. I ask that you join us in making this a success. Wouldn't it be awesome at come Easter time, this thing is paid off in entirety, that before we even start or finish, that this thing is done and paid off? If you feel like you can contribute, and I don't care if it's $1, $10, $20, if you can contribute in any way, there are baskets at the back, there is a box at the front, you can hand funds to Angela or myself, and we will make sure that we get this thing paid off as quickly as possible, and just appreciate your support. And I hope you're excited about it, because Grapevine is not a stagnant place. You can see that in the missions. You can see that in the work we're doing. You can see that at the potential we have and the growth that we have. We are not standing still. We are moving forward, and that's exciting. And so I just pray that you will be a part of it in some way, and look forward to seeing everybody out there.